Monster Man, special episode, Monster Roulette, Monster, Meta Monster Roulette. Hello, and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm taking a look at the monsters that I find in them, their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. Today's episode is a special episode, brought to you by the generosity and public spirit of my Patreon backers, and in particular, of Patreon backer Ted. If you'd like to be like Ted and get your own special episode, all you gotta do is go to patreon.com/monsterman and pledge at the $5 level. And if you do that, you'll also get access to all new episodes of my other podcast, Patron Deities, which is in the middle of a series about Haitian voodoo. So Ted, thank you very much for your continued support, and I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. Ted wants me to talk about the generators behind Monster Roulette. You know, I've been doing this series of Monster Roulette episodes in which I randomly generate monsters using different methods. Well, Ted asked me what I think makes a good random monster generator now that I've used a bunch of them. And when he first proposed this topic, I was delighted. I thought that it would be quite easy to talk about. After all, I mean, I think about monsters a lot, and I've done a few of these, so surely I should have a clear idea what I want in a random monster generator. And yet, it turned out that this topic was actually quite challenging, and I was almost a little relieved when it was preempted by the My Favorite Monster episode with Joe Lewis, because I wasn't really sure what the approach I wanted to take to the topic was. But I've had some time to think about it, and I have what I think are like the beginnings of some thoughts. This is like notes toward an understanding of random monster generators. So first, I have to establish that I'm talking about evaluating random monster generators solely from my own perspective. And what I want out of a random monster generator might be quite different from what somebody else might want. And as you might expect from someone who has been through a lot of different monster books, I'm a little bit jaded. So a lot of the time, what I am looking for in a monster generator is novelty. I want to see something that I wouldn't think of myself. Now, a lot of published random monster generators have this quality, but that doesn't mean that they're all exactly the kind of thing that I'm looking for. Because a lot of them are, and I don't mean this to sound as critical as it probably does sound, a lot of them are focused on producing wild nonsense. They're a little bit silly, because making monsters that are very kind of outlandish and bizarre is a good way to make sure that it isn't something that already exists in D&D. Well, it kind of isn't, but, you know, that's another story. I'm looking for things that I wouldn't think of myself, but I would also like those things to be interesting for other reasons than novelty. So there are people to whom these things appeal. I think there are people who have a personal playstyle that's pretty wild, people who are using these outlandish monsters as a starting point, as a kind of inspiration, and people who just seek to distinguish themselves from the competition by making their monster generators extreme. And that can work, right? We did that Realm of Chaos episode. Realm of Chaos, those two books are understood as classics, and that is definitely a generator where one of the things that people really like about it is its ability to produce bizarre, even unplayable outcomes. I think this comes from the fact that Realm of Chaos champion generation is something that you're not going to do very often, right? It's more like generating a character for a role-playing game than it is generating a monster for an RPG. And as a consequence, it's something that you don't feel bad spending a lot of time on, and it's something that you like to have a memorable experience doing. So I definitely want random generators to give me something that I haven't seen before. That's a good way to summarize it. But most importantly, I want to see a random generator that lets me do something not just that I haven't seen before, but something that I wouldn't do myself, right? It's like the ideal birthday present. The ideal birthday present is something that you really like, but that you would never have bought for yourself. But because my understanding of what makes a great random monster generator is based on what I wouldn't do myself, that means that it's necessarily different from anyone else's. Because the type of monster that I would routinely make is different from the type of monster that you would routinely make. I have my own monster creation tics and habits, and if you know me and know my work, you can spot things in them. Sometimes these are big things, big kind of like artistic trends, so a love of the aesthetics of B-movies or classic comic books, and interesting sort of classic gothic horror tropes, but often, I mean, if I say this about myself, I think it's okay. On a kind of surface level, I'm more interested in the imagery of the Gothic than in its themes, inspiration from certain periods of history, or even like weirder and more specific things, like the fact that things I create tend to have pigs in them. Why pigs? Is it because I had to read Lord of the Flies in high school? Is it because I studied the early Middle Ages and people in England during that period are very attached to the symbol of the boar as a symbol of ferocity? Is it because of that time that I went to a like reconstructed early medieval farm and I saw the pigs there and they were so different from modern pigs that was really interesting? Is it a Guy Ritchie thing? I mean, who knows? But it's definitely a fingerprint in my work. Like, there's a lot of things that have pigs in them. Meconium Mine doesn't have any pigs in it, but they're not uncommon in things I create. So what I would love most of all in a monster generator would be for it to help me create monsters that have the individual stamp. Like, I have my individual stamps. I'd love to see something that creates monsters that have the individual stamp of the person who created the generator. Like, remember that special episode that we did about babies, which, now that I come to think of it, was requested by the patron who also requested the first monster roulette. But remember that? That giant weird baby is a monster that, left to my own devices, I would never create on my own. You could have me do 1,000 monsters and I wouldn't come up with that baby. I want that. Now, there's a question then of how portable is that individuality, right? Can you convey the complex blend of nuance and influence that is a particular standpoint in a set of random tables? So I've cut out a long discussion, I'm pretty sure, about what it is that makes a writer's unique viewpoint and how easy it is to transfer that viewpoint. Because my tone when I write about, so for instance, I'm halfway through, and maybe I'll never get finished, but I'm halfway through writing a scenario that is kind of based on an incident that happened in the real world in the early Middle Ages. So right around the very beginning of the 10th century. And I am writing that from a perspective where I'm conscious that I know more about the 900s than the majority of my readers, because it was an area that I specialized in, but I'm trying to convey something about not just like the tone and feel that I think that period evokes, but like what that period means to me. So I'm not saying it's trying to be a history lesson about English Mercia in the 900s. It's meant to try to get you to feel the same way as I felt when I read the thing that inspired the scenario, even if you haven't read that thing and it doesn't mean the same to you. And in my case, I'm trying to do that with, like, you know, compelling NPCs and evocative prose. It's maybe a little bit more maximalist than some of the other stuff that I've done in the past, and who knows if it'll ever see the light of day. But could I convey that mood in the form of a monster generator? Perhaps, perhaps not. But I do think that thinking about the things that appear in your work like that can be a very valuable creative exercise. I'm sorry if you hear a funny noise in the background. It is foxes screaming their heads off at the back of my apartment building. Have you ever done this? Have you ever done an inventory of the things that you always include in scenarios or encounters? Because if you have, those might be the things that would form like the skeleton of your monster or encounter generator. And I don't mean like some self-aware poking fun at yourself, roll dice to determine if you're in a James scenario kind of thing. Like, on a 1-3, the political setup evokes the Cold War. That's funny, but that's not quite what I'm talking about. I'm sure I've said this before, but I was reading the submission guidelines. At one point, I decided I wanted to try my hand at writing comics. I never really got it. I pitched a couple stories, never went anywhere, gave up on it. Or not gave up on it, but just like got distracted by other things. I very seldom give up on things. I get distracted by other things, which amounts to the same thing in the end. Anyway, my point is, I was reading a thing about writing for, you know, classic British anthology comic 2000 AD. And one of the things they said was, as a writing exercise, read an issue of a typical American comic book, which is like 20 to 22 pages long. Now, try to write that same story in 8 pages. That's a very valuable writing exercise, I think, and it helps you identify what's important, for a certain value of important, in that story. And I think trying to write a generator almost functions in the same way, because you have to only include those things that are crucial to your feel. And again, this idea would produce generators that I personally wouldn't use. So for example, a lot of people think about monsters in their setting proceeding from a kind of ecological starting point. And that, to me, that's not really something that's right for me. That's not usually how I think about my games. And that's okay.
okay.
Now, this is all assuming that I'm working within the kind of shared genre of fantasy adventure RPG, but I might not be, right? The generator could be for a specific setting or genre, and in that case, it's a good way to encode the assumptions or trends of that genre. This is something I often praise the Kevin Crawford games for, although, if I'm being honest, those games often don't have terrific monster content. Like, I like Stars of That Number and Other Dust, but the bestiary is in many ways the weakest section. And that's partly because Crawford prefers to boil his monsters right down. So they are essentially the same stat blocks for a broad category of monster, and then like a few little details attached on top of them, but like mechanically they're much of a muchness. And I think that that's okay, particularly in a very simple system like Other Dust, but I'd love to hear more about the evocative details that bring out the setting. I mean, not that there are none, but there could be more. But you can really see the way in which Crawford links like extra-dimensional horror to a certain view of human horror in Silent Legions just by looking at the random generators for setting and plot material, and indeed for creatures. So if I were creating a random generator for monsters in the fantasy setting that my D&D game is in, that generator would be a good way to include some of the themes of the game, from things that are almost like clues about the setting. So for instance, in my setting, a lot of weird, unique, kind of grotesque creatures exist because of the hybridization of spirits, right? Like spirits have been basically broken up into little fragments and then recombined. And that is the result of a magical cataclysm that happened. And if you understood more about what was happening to the spirits, then you might have more knowledge about that magical cataclysm. But that could also progress to like larger themes. So for instance, in many cases, like my current game has creatures that are there to express things that make me uncomfortable about like the level of militarism common in games. Or if you prefer, they're just about like the horrors of war and the horrors of militarism. Indeed, I think that this is often a better way to communicate things about a setting than a bunch of setting text, but you don't need me to tell you that. If you bother with OSR games at all, you know that those games have been using random generators as setting development since forever. That is another example of one of the things that I think it has often been pointed out, that the play styles that the OSR and its various successors, the NSR, whatever you choose to identify yourself with, I'm on the NSR Discord, I guess, but I don't post very much, so I don't know what that counts as. Anyway, that is an attempt, and this is very obvious in the world of Oldhammer as well, an attempt to use old tools to create a play style that maybe is not the play style that existed at the time being evoked, to play the way you wish you could have when you were a kid, rather than the way people actually played when you were a kid. So I don't know how much the random tables in a lot of old fantasy RPGs really communicate the setting in the same way that the random tables in a lot of modern games that evoke those classic fantasy RPGs do, but the idea was there. Now, one thing that you probably noticed in the Monster Roulette sessions is that I keep using things like the Silent Legions Monster Generator or Realm of Chaos that aren't really meant for the type of game that this show was at least nominally about. But I do think that there are creature generators that are a little too specific, where either some aspect of the setting is baked right in, or where the creator's assumptions about how the monster is going to be used are too limiting, and I don't think that that's true for either of those. Like novelty, how specific is too specific? How adaptable is adaptable enough? That's a subjective thing and very much depends on the view of the user. The same is true for ease of use. So, like, length, for instance. I think that the ideal length for a random monster generator, assuming it isn't introducing new mechanics like Realm of Chaos is 2 facing pages. If I've got the book open either on my screen in front of me or on my desk in front of me, and I can look at all the pages involved in the generator simultaneously, that's pretty cool. However, multiple monster generators that we've used on this show, indeed maybe all of them, are longer than that. If that's the case, I'd love each of the subsections to be no more than a pair of facing pages. By far, the most frustrating thing about the Realm of Chaos experience, and I cut out a lot of this from that episode, was the constant flipping back and forth. I like to keep it short, and I like to do it quickly. However, here's the thing. It sounds like I would love it if you were to automate the process of generating these creatures, right? Like, we have a bunch of D6 tables or whatever. What could be easier than to turn that into a little web app or something like that? There used to be a sector map generator for Stars of That Number that did that, and it was great. I used it all the time. Push a button, bam, instant sector. Don't like it? No worries. Push the button again. But I actually don't think that that's a very useful way to think about the monster generator. Again, obviously everybody's different, but in terms of the way that I use these tools, I don't think that a one-click generator is as useful to me as a process. Because there are utilities like that online. Like, if you want something like that, they do exist. And some of them produce quite detailed, weird, and even interesting monsters. But they do feel a little bit like they come to you as a complete product, and I'm not sure that that's what I want. I think the act of Monster Roulette is somehow important. So every step that you're going through gives you a little time in between. And it's in those spaces of thought and imagination between the die rolls and the making notes that the Monster Roulette is actually happening. Every step gives you that time and calls on you to make decisions about what the monster is, to imagine how it will appear in your game, and after all, it's the imagination that makes this process go. So it isn't just the results of the generator that affect how the monster emerges. It's the fact that you have to go through this generation process in the first place, kind of a guided imagination, like a writing prompt or a painting challenge, you know what I mean? It guides the process, but it focuses attention on process, not on outcome. It's not just the results of the generator, it's the fact that you have to go through the generation process in the first place, thinking about all the different aspects of monster design and how you incorporate them into your game. And all those various things that are like, you know, different cards, like the Monster Mash cards that I used, or whatever it was called, Monster Bash, or even something like Everway cards or anything that has that kind of like visual or tactile element. Those are just other ways of focusing your attention on that creative process of spurring on your imagination. Because for some people, the thing that spurs on the imagination is a little more physical or visual. For some people, it's text. Or for some people, it's whatever. You know, you could put together a pretty good monster with someone's random Spotify playlist. Maybe not mine. Or maybe. Anyway, yeah. To some extent, what's happening is that your creative process is being sparked. And it doesn't matter so much precisely how, but there are things that are going to leave you cold and there are things that are going to inspire you. And for me, it's that ability to connect to the creative energy of somebody else. And I hate to say things like creative energy, you know what I mean? But the unique style, the influences, the images that would not occur to me. So even working within a genre that I think is relatively well understood and that I feel like I know a great deal about, like Lovecraftian horror, if you asked me to write a Lovecraftian monster generation table and then you showed me Kevin Crawford's one, they would be quite different. And that is because of differences between myself and Kevin Crawford. And actually, I almost said what I think those differences are, even though I've never spoken to the man, I've never seen, I mean, you know, he barely like has a social media presence. I know so little about him. But from those tables and from the way he writes about this stuff, I was like, well, he's kind of like got this sort of approach to it. He has these thoughts about it. Is that true? I don't know. That's what I got from the monster tables, which is a pretty weird thing to say about someone's approach to a genre of literature. So if I can get that like ability to temporarily borrow someone else's creative approach to create creatures that wouldn't occur to me to do by myself, then I think that's a good monster roulette, and that's really the kind of thing that I am aiming for. Now, is this useful in finding and purchasing your own like monster generators to do your own monster roulette? No, because I just said that everyone's different and you just got to find the ones that work for you, which you knew already and didn't need me for. I do think it would be fun to do a monster generator jam, right? So instead of a book that like purports to be the great system of monster generators, instead a book where every couple of pages is a different random monster generator. But hey, you know, I know some of my listeners are publishers. Come talk to me. We'll get some game designers to write random monster tables. You know, it'll be 2 pages a person. It's pretty low commitment. Get a dozen or so. Do a Kickstarter. Job's good. It's as simple as that, right? I'm pretty sure that's how that works. Anyway, okay, look. Enough about the random monster generators. My point is simply that it's not the random generator that's as important to me as it is the ability to temporarily borrow in like a compact and usable format someone else's perspective in order to generate the type of thing that I wouldn't do myself. And however I can do that, that's what I look for in a random monster generator. And if you have a better method for finding the ones that work for me than just buying a bunch of them and some of them don't turn out to be right for me, then I'd love to hear about it. But at present, that is what I am doing. So that's about all the time that we have to talk about random monster generators for today. Ted, thank you once again for your continued support, and I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. Everyone else, if you'd like to be like Ted and set me off on a philosophical ramble that barely answers the question, all you gotta do is go to patreon.com/monsterman and pledge at the $5 level. In our next episode, we will be returning to the Arabian Nights-inspired fantasy of Al-Kadim, so I hope that you will join me then, right here on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you've got a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, why not get in touch? I'm on Twitter as @GonzoHistory, on Mastodon as GonzoHistory@dice.camp, or you can find me on Instagram at MonsterManGonzo, or drop me an email, GonzoHistory@gmail.com. Our theme music is an extract from Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster and is used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Our cover art is by Ray Otis. Thanks for listening, and please join me next time for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great.